I want to read to you this morning. We're going to continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We're almost done. We just got to get through chapter 7. But we're going to look at the part where Jesus is talking about storing treasures in heaven. Now, as we read the passage, I want us to realize that Jesus doesn't say that it's not okay to have stuff. Jesus isn't saying it's okay or it's not okay to be wealthy. But if we are, he wants us to enjoy our gifts. But he wants us to have a proper perspective. And that's where we pick up chapter 6 about storing treasures in heaven. It says this. Now, my translation might be a little bit different. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Now I'm going to tell you a joke this morning. There's an Englishman, there's an Irishman, and there's a Dutchman. Now, you probably know where I'm going. It's beautiful out now, and you're gone out for lunch on an outdoor patio, and you decide one day that you're going to open or you're going to have the soup and sandwich combo. And as you sit down with your Irish friend and your English friend, three flies just happen to go down and fall into your soup. Each of you. The Englishman, a little bit sophisticated, grabs a spoon and grabs a fly and lays it at the side of the bowl so the soup drains back in. And he takes the fly and he puts it in his napkin, he covers it over, and he begins to enjoy his soup. The Irishman wasn't as sophisticated as the English friend, and he grabs his spoon and he hits it into the bowl of soup, and soup goes all over the table, and so does the fly. Half the soup is left in the bowl, and he enjoys it. Now the Dutchman, of which that's my ancestry, sees the fly. He grabs the fly and he shakes it, and then he begins to hit it with the spoon and he begins to shout, "Spit it out, spit it out, spit it out, I paid for it." I would actually do that. I'm left with two questions this morning as I think about our passage this morning. The first thing is, am I a slave to the things that are around me? And the second question really builds on the first. Is my priority in life to love the things of the world or to love God? Because the second question really has a lot to say about our culture. Because if we really want to live for stuff rather than God, we end up putting on all these different kinds of masks and yet claim to be religious. I mean, we could say we love God, but then we covet our neighbor's stuff. We can say that we want to be content and yet we struggle with temptation and we don't pray about it. We can say that we love God and yet we hoard everything to ourselves. I mean, we can say we love God and we can be envious of everybody around us. You know, something I've learned, and maybe it's taken me a long time to learn, but I've begun to learn over the last few years. When I learn to be content with what I have, I realize how blessed I truly am. And I begin to see the blessings in my life. Jesus begins with a question And he says, what is your heart's desire? What is your heart's desire this morning? And then Jesus immediately gives the answer. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Have you ever noticed that culture has fed into it, much like that donut? That we're told to always want more, to live for yourself. Would your treasure be this morning to maybe have a bigger wardrobe filled with every pair of shoes or purse or outfit that you would want? Maybe this morning your treasure would be to have my Ford Mustang that's now rusted away. Maybe your treasure this morning would be to have a certain amount of money in your bank account and you'll do whatever it takes to get to that amount. Maybe it's some jewelry, and not just jewelry, but nice jewelry, and lots of jewelry. Maybe for you this morning, that treasure would be able to eat filet mignon every night and just have your mouth salivate on the tastes of a good piece of meat. When I begin to look at it, when Jesus does this teaching, he begins to understand something about people. That we can so easily become a slave to the things that are around us. Now catch it. Here is Jesus on the hillside. And there's the Pharisees and the Sadducees on this side. They're the religious elite. They're, you could say, the pastors of the day. They're the runners of the temple or of the church. And on the outside, they look good. And they set a standard that everybody wanted to be like them. But on the inside, God wasn't there, and a lot of what they did was about themselves and about their own gain and what they could get out of it. And yet, on this side, there were some people that were hearing Jesus for the first time. And this is good stuff. This is radical. They've never heard this before, that they didn't need to be a slave to the things around them, that there was this new story in this person called Jesus. And it was revolutionary. So Jesus begins to teach about a new way of living, about a life that is free, a life that is about service to God. I want to give you a few quotes. One is by the not-so-great theologian Oprah Winfrey, who says this: everyone wants to ride with you in the limo, but what you want is somebody who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. And then from the great Bob Marley: don't gain the world and lose your soul. Wisdom is better than silver or gold. And then from the former president, Franklin D. Roosevelt: the test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance who have much. It is whether we provide enough for those who have too little. Have you ever begun to look at the story of those around you, or maybe your own life, and see people who get it? Who get what Jesus is teaching? Let me give you an extreme example. One guy's name is George Carroll. He grew up in 1855 in the United States. He inherited his father's lumber company, which did very, very well. A little while later, he decided to move to Texas. And not only did he continue that, but he continued to invest in the oil industry when it was beginning. And he did great. He made vast amounts of money, but so did the town. And he began to see how the town was living out of a sense of opulence, and they wanted more, and they wanted more, and he wanted more, and he wanted to bring things into line and have people have a proper perspective on all that they were trying to amass. And so he ran for city council. In fact, he ran 3 times, and he never got in. So he made it his life mission to use his money, all of his money, to be a radiant example to those around him. And so he gave to universities, he gave to his church, he gave to the community. He was the largest benefactor of the YMCA in his town. And he wanted people to understand where their treasure was. So by the time he was 80 years old, he'd given away everything. And he was now living in the YMCA. Where your heart is, there your treasure will also be. Do you know people in your story who get it? I think of a lady who you may remember or not, but she didn't have very much. And yet, whenever there was a cause to give to, even though she could have used the money herself, she was one of the first persons to put her 2 coins down, which was everything she had. But it was not only that. When we needed somebody to volunteer, she'd be one of the first people to stand up and to offer her help. Where your heart is, there your treasure will also be. Picture it now. Jesus is talking to religious leaders and people who are hearing what he's saying for the very first time. Did you know? In ancient times, the time where this was written, clothes were a sign of wealth. Especially if you had wool clothing, because it wasn't mass produced. But people were beginning to amass it more and more, and they were also using it as a form of money. But what they didn't realize is that when they put their wool clothing away, little worms would come in and would lay their larvae, and they would begin to eat away at the wool fabric. The only way to protect their investment was to wear it. And not only to wear it, but to wash it. Because as you moved and as you washed, the friction that was there because of these soon-to-be moths would break down and their stuff would be protected. But when they began to store it away and they would go to use it to make money or to sell it to purchase something else, it would ultimately be destroyed. So Jesus says, you're searching after all these things. You're making it the center of your life to have it all. But I want you to know, there's a moment where moths will come in and they'll destroy everything that you've made the center of your life. Another form of wealth was food. Food was used to feed your family. It was used to barter. It was used to sell. It was used, at least the seeds, to be replanted and used again. And greenhouses were put up so they could store and they could sell when it's at the highest price so they could accumulate more and more. But even then, insects, disease, rodents come in and they eat it all. And then there's the metals. Much like my Ford Mustang, Carmen's Escort didn't have this happen to it. But think of the winters that we have here. And we drive down the road and water gets in and salt gets in and it begins to eat away at the car and it begins to corrode and eventually it begins to rust out, right? That's why we rust check our cars. So they'll last longer and they won't break down. But he was telling the hearers, you're investing in all this and it's becoming the love of your life. It's becoming the thing that you're focusing on that possession. And at some point it's going to rust. And then if they didn't get it by now, Jesus said, oh yeah, those coins, your monies, they may not get eaten by moths. They may not get taken away by rodents. It may not rust away. But you know what? Thieves come in and they steal and they destroy. See, Jesus talking about a treasure that we're storing up that will do whatever it takes to get. That becomes the primary focus of our lives, and that's what the first hearers were hearing as well. You want to know what your treasure is this morning? Look at where your affection is this morning. I suspect in one area this morning, I could ask you, you know what? Pull out your Visa statements or your MasterCard statements. Pull out all the receipts over the past year, and we can begin to get a glimpse of where our treasure is. look at what you give away for the building of the kingdom, and we can see where your treasure is. But he also goes on, look how you use your time. We can see where your treasure is by how you and I use our time. Carmen doesn't know this, but I went through all of my stuff over the past week, and I realized that all the stuff that Carmen and I have accumulated in 18 years together is either going to fall apart, it's going to rust, or it has the potential to be stolen. And now Jesus says to those first hearers, and he says to us, store up treasures in heaven. How do you do that? How do you store up treasures in heaven? I'm glad you asked. You store up a treasure in heaven by loving your neighbor. You store up a treasure in heaven this morning by looking after the orphan and the widow in their distress. You store up a treasure in heaven by walking along somebody who's struggling. Our worship team this morning and leading us is storing up a treasure in heaven. You know that we're looking for people to stand for elder and deacon. Our leadership helps store up treasure in heaven. When you use your gifts in our youth ministry, you're storing up a treasure in heaven. We're looking for people to help lead VBC. And if you're able to help us do that, you're able to store up a treasure in heaven. When you give to the work and the ministry of the church, not only in your gifts and in your talents, but of your finances, you're storing up a treasure in heaven. How do I know that? Because it says you store up a treasure in heaven. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And when we love our neighbor as ourselves. Here's why it's so important. Because if we are like the religious leaders and we're looking after ourselves, that we will do anything it takes to make it in the world, and that becomes our focus in our lives. I'll tell you this, based on everything I've read this week, scientific studies have proven that if our desire is to make it by the world standards, you're going to be jealous, you're going to be unhappy, you're going to be filled with discontentment, you are going to be filled with anger, health problems, relationship problems, and you're just ultimately going to be unhappy. Jim Elliot, the missionary whose name is fairly popular, wrote this. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That's profound. Are there things that you value more, but realize that there are things that have your heart this morning? Maybe you wish you were more passionate about faith and about church. Maybe this morning you wish you cared more about social justice and refugees and the poor and the oppressed and human trafficking. Maybe this morning you wish you could balance your spending. Our world would say, put your money where your mouth is. But Jesus would say, put your priorities this morning where you want them to be. Isn't it interesting? We can look around this morning and we can see how we're doing. I can go this afternoon to my computer or my phone if I knew how to use it, and I could find out how much Carmen and I have in the bank. I can go to my house and I can look at the value of my house. I can go to my car or my minivan, and I can look at it that way. But storing up treasures in heaven, we can't see. But it takes faith to realize that God is doing something. We weren't there in Bethlehem, but we believe by faith that Jesus came into the world as a little baby. You and I weren't there when Jesus did many of these miracles, when he healed the sick and the blind and the lame and the mute and he raised the dead. But we believe by faith. We believe by faith that Jesus went to the cross for you and I that we could have life. We weren't there when Jesus came out of the tomb, but we believe by faith that he not only came out of the tomb, but that he went to heaven, and we believe by faith that he's coming back again. And so we believe by faith that as you give, as you use your gifts and your time and your talents and your priority being focused on Christ and his big picture for your story, that we're not living out of the half bite of donut, but out of the full donut of life. That God smiles every moment that you and I invest in the kingdom of heaven. And here's the amazing thing. How you use your gifts and your talents and your time for the kingdom of God, it will not be eaten by moths. It will not be affected by disease. It will not rust. It cannot be stolen by thieves. Nothing can take it away, for it is stored in heaven with God. In the book, The Lord of the Rings, there is this ring that everybody is after. And there is a character who will do whatever it takes to go after. Now, I can't do the voice, but it's something like, precious, right? That wasn't too bad, right? Yeah, okay, she says no. And that precious affects how you and I are going to live and what we're going to do and what our priority is. This morning, God is inviting us, as he is to the religious leaders and to the first hearers of Jesus' teaching, to begin to think of life a new way. Because obviously, if you look at our world today, this isn't working. But this, what he's inviting us to this morning, is radically different. It's liberating when you begin to wake up every morning and to realize that God is using you to store up treasure in heaven. And Jesus saw something that was so precious. And it was you and I, that he left the throne room of heaven, that he left the full majesty and the splendor of everything that was there with his Father. And he came down to earth to die for you and I because he loved us so much. And so this morning, Jesus is inviting us to answer that question. Where is your heart? What is your treasure? And if it's for Jesus and to make him the ultimate priority of our lives, that like that Dutchman hitting the soup, we're not yelling, spit it out, spit it out, spit it out. We're saying, Lord, I want more. I want more of you. And all that's required is for us to take that first step of faith and to look at our checkbooks, to look at our time, to look at our gifts, and simply ask this question: how do you want me to use all of this for something that's going to make a difference in eternity? And I can absolutely guarantee you that if that begins to be your question, and you wholeheartedly step out in faith in those areas, God's going to do incredible things in you and through you. Even though you may not see it, there'll be treasures that will be stored up in heaven. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for the gifts and the talents and the rich abundance of blessing that sits in this room this morning. We thank you that we are recipients of a precious gift called eternal life. That we are recipients of a precious gift that you have given us out of your sheer goodness. And it's called grace. Lord, I pray that as we work against a culture that wants us to live like that guy who makes that word precious, that you would begin to change our story so that we could break free from the lies of culture that defines what we makes it, what defines what we're supposed to look like. And that as you bless us to different measures, we can live out of the abundance of that. And we could use that as you have given to us, as you have blessed us, as you have equipped us for the building of your kingdom. And that even though we don't see it, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to experience your smile upon us as we follow you in faith. And Lord, as we think of following you in faith, we want to think of our Vacation Bible Camp coming up in July, Lord. And Lord, we're looking for volunteers, Lord. We just pray that you would rise up volunteers, young and adult, to help us in that. That we continue to tell the story of the precious gift. And Lord, you may already know who those people are. And Lord, they may not already even be thinking about that. But Lord, we pray that you would stir up an excitement, a passion to use gifts and talents in that way to reach not only our children, but children from the community with the good news of the gospel. Lord, we thank you for how Phil and Janetta can continue to do that work in Tanzania. Lord, as they begin to make their way home and in June they will share with us, Lord, we pray that it would be a good time of rest and replenishment. We pray that you continue to bless the work of the African Inland Church there in Tanzania, and there would be much fruit. Lord, we thank you for moments in life where we can enjoy retirement. Lord, we just pray that as Margaret walks through her first full week of being retired, that may just be a joy and excitement to not only experience, but also discover what you're calling her to next. And yet, Lord, we look not only at those wonderful moments, we also think of those moments, Lord, we're looking at next seasons of life, and steps need to fall into place for that to happen. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with John and Martin. Lord, as their health situations changes, as their families look at different alternatives for them, Lord, we just pray that you would give them clarity and wisdom. We pray that there would be much insight as to what those next steps need to be. But Lord, we also think of that not only as we get older, but Lord, in our middle to younger age, Lord, where illness creeps in. We want to pray that you would be with Brenda's brother Greg, Lord, as he battles cancer. Lord, we pray that you would do a miracle, Lord, and that you would heal his body. But Lord, we also pray that you would strengthen his spirit, that, Lord, he may continue to be reminded each and every day of your provision, of your hand in his story, and that you would hold his faith strong, and that you would continue to do a good work in his body, Lord, that you would ultimately heal him. And as medication goes in, Lord, we pray that it would do what it's supposed to do. Lord, thank you for loving us. And Lord, I thank you for the treasure that this congregation is, for its gifts, for its talents, for its generosity. And Lord, even now, as this service has gone on, Lord, in a variety of different ways, for the treasures that have been stored up in heaven, would you help us, O God, in this coming week to live out of the joy and the abundance of your grace, and that we would look for ways in our time, in our talents, and in our resources that we can use to build the kingdom of God. In your name we pray. Amen.